That isn't cranberry sauce, Artie.
Go on, Carlos.
Get up! Pale!
You're listening to the 2B Tuesdays podcast, a co-production from the Super Network and Pop4D, featuring hosts Super Marcy.
Hey, everybody, remember to put a condom on your computer.
Feed the Terrible Australian.
That dude sounds like Charles Bronson!
And Professor Batch.
She wants the revenge for the ones that took her bananas.
This podcast contains explicit language.
No, he said it all love, so that way when he, you know...
Yes. Allegedly.
Adult themes.
It just wants to go down.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more information, see the show notes. Visit supermarcy.com and you can show your support and get exclusive content at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Now to our feature presentation.
My son just escaped from his school.
I got molested in a little boy's room.
Hands off my treasure, Bosun Moon.
G'day everyone, this is B. Jermaine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome to episode 84 of the 2B Tuesdays podcast. And unfortunately, though, it's just me for this episode because my usual co-hosts, Marcy and Batch, weren't able to make this episode. And there's a good reason for that, because a couple of weeks back, I kind of talked about how pretty much I had to go drive Luis Lasser around town, and it was an absolutely insane night that I still have nightmares about. So unfortunately for both Marcy and Batch, Louise needed some help with a few things and needed some drivers to help her out. So she got Marcy and Batch to help her out. And those poor souls, they're having just a nightmarish experience right now, hence why they're not here on this episode. However, though, I am not quite alone on this show because I have managed to bring in a very special guest for this episode and also our final film for Spooky Month here on the 2B Tuesdays podcast. And he is a guy who we consider around here as a legend of the Super Network because he's been on the show many times since the conception of the Super Network. And as well as I had to bring him back because the last time he was on the show was the infamous Hell of the Living Dead episode. so I had to make up for that somehow. And that, of course, is my good friend, Pat Torfey. Hello, Pat. How are you?
With that build-up beat, people are just going to be like, I'm going to turn this off now. It's like,
well,
you got this far, and then it's like, that guy? Okay, sure. But no.
Well, I think, Pat, if people have listened to any of our shows here on the Super Network since the beginning, you pretty much are, like, one of the legends of the show because, like I said, you've been here since guesting on this show or any of these shows on this network since the very beginning.
Well, that's true, but I don't know if legend is kind of the appropriate word. It's just kind of like, I don't know, that there's some mystique to that. Really, I'm just a guy sitting here sipping tea, talking with you. But no, I mean, it's I guess if you want to call me a legend, sure, why not?
Yes.
I'll
call you a legend or 24/7 of my life. But anyway, so well, I'm really glad you're here because, like I said, last time you were here on the show, you were here for my another pick I did, which of course was Hell of the Living Dead, which is an episode I still have nightmares about, mainly because I've never heard a podcast episode go downhill so quickly. Like, it started off strong, and then you could feel the vibe just turn that whole episode down south so quickly.
That was an experience. That was something that I don't think that I'll forget for a while. No matter how hard I try.
But somehow, for some reason, that episode is one of our most downloaded of the year so far for the show.
Well, there you go. I guess people like to watch car crashes.
Exactly. Exactly. Or listen to them.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you are here because, once again, it's my pick for this week. I'm not saying maybe that's why Marcy and Batch decided to go help out Louise Lasser because it is my pick this week. I'm not sure. I'm only assuming.
Let's go with
yes, that. Exactly. Exactly. So for this episode, though, for the last one for Spooky Month, originally I, you know what? there's a filmmaker we talk about on this show a lot, and it's someone I always bring up every time a gory scene happens, anytime we watch, you know, a horror film on this show. And that, of course, is the legendary Italian horror filmmaker Lucio Fulci. And I decided, though, I think it's about time we tackled a Lucio Fulci film for this show. Unfortunately, though, the film I originally wanted to do for this show, which was The House by the Cemetery, is no longer on Tubi anywhere. So that was kind of brought a bit of it just kind of tore down the house of cards for me. However, though, we decided, you know what, I need to still pick a Fulci film. So we're going to go with a film that for a lot of people consider to be his best film and even his most well-known film. And that, of course, is the 1981 supernatural horror film, The Beyond.
Yes, I have done. Before we started recording, I had mentioned to UB that I have not seen The Beyond in quite a long time, actually. So this will be a nice sort of refresher, if you want to call it that. I don't know. I mean, as I had recently seen House by the Cemetery, and I know that some people consider that to be, you know, it's an okay film. I mean, the obviously the effects and the atmosphere in House by the Cemetery are really well done. But even to this day, I'm sure that and I'm not the only one. And I'm sure that some people just can't stand the dub for that one, the English dub, and for good reason. I mean, you know, you can just listen to it. Once Giovanni Frez's character Bob starts talking, yeah, you kind of just want to like, where's the liquor sort of thing. But The Beyond is, as you said, it's one of his most well-known, if not the most well-known, right up there with Zombie. And it was actually branded a video nasty, so you know that we're in for a good one if a film was branded a video nasty in the UK. You know, and of course, if you've seen The Beyond before, you'll know why. So yes, I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too. It has been quite a while since I've seen The Beyond, and I think at the time I saw it, like I only just started watching Fulci films at the time, and I don't think I was that big on this one, to be honest, mainly because like I thought, oh, it's very over the top, this plot doesn't make sense, it's incoherent. But then you kind of watch a lot of Fulci's other films from his film, and pretty much a lot of them are basically like that. So I kind of warmed up to that style that Fulci does with his film. So I'm kind of very excited to check out The Beyond again. So we'll get straight to it. And of course, for all of our listeners out there, what you need to do is look up the film The Beyond on Tubi. And from my knowledge, it is playing on every Tubi everywhere across the world. And we're going to play the film from the very start. So I'll count us down from 5. And when I say go, that's when you play the movie, and then that way our audio commentary will be in sync. However, though, since Tubi is a free streaming service, they do play ads on occasion. So whenever an ad does pop up, we'll shout out ad, and then that way you can pause the film. And then when the ad is finished, we'll let you know and we'll give you a timestamp of where we are at that point in the film. However, though, if you're not interested in watching The Beyond, that's okay, because I still think the episode itself will still be a fun listen to regardless. So so let's do this. And yeah. Pat, are you ready to go full screen for Fulci?
Full screen for Fulci. Yes, that's a phrase that I've not heard before and probably won't hear again, but it sounds good. So yes, I'm already
well, if anyone ever does a podcast on Lucio Fulci, definitely use the title Full Screen for Fulci. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
All righty, let's do this. Count us down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And we got the Grindhouse logo, so I'm already excited.
Oh, yes. It's, as I said, it's always a good time when you, good time for Fulci. In general.
Exactly.
Even though, as I said before, Fulci films, not the best in terms of dialogue, and they're not the most coherent, but whatever. I mean, the gore factor is the main thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And pretty much we're starting off in the past, in 1927, in Louisiana. But that's the thing, though. I kind of realized, like, a lot of Italian horror films were either shot in New York or in, like, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's like I'm on the set of a horror movie with all the lightning.
Now, this was, correct me if I'm wrong, this was originally in color, but then they just decided to throw a sepia tone onto it, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, it definitely has that kind of, like, almost like the first half of The Wizard of Oz with the sepia.
Mm-hmm.
Although I kind of am kind of curious to see, like, what this opening would be like in color. But I do like, but I think having the sepia definitely gives it that kind of, you know, old-fashioned feel, at least in this beginning scene.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, it's kind of a cheesy effect, but again, it's sort of, it plays well with the film.
All right, everyone, keep paddle around here in case we run into Victor Crowley or Swamp Thing or one of them.
They don't really tell us what the tell us the year of it, but or did they actually? I can't remember.
Oh yeah, they did. 1927.
Okay, there we go. So maybe I guess they were doing this in the late 20s. I don't know, roaming around the swamps of Louisiana with torches.
Yes, because I mean, why not?
Exactly.
Now, the thing about The Beyond is that it's actually part of a trilogy of films that Fulci did, which, of course, is the Gates of Hell trilogy, which include this film, House by the Cemetery, which we were originally going to do for this episode, and as well as City of the Living Dead.
Yes, I feel bad because, again, I haven't seen a lot. Well, I shouldn't say I have seen a lot of Fulci's films, but I haven't revisited them for the longest time. I guess it's part of the reason, I guess, is because you have to be, honestly, you do really have to be in a mood to watch a Fulci film.
Mm.
And also I have to point out that a lot of people in Fulci's films sweat profusely for whatever reason. I guess they need to work on their air conditioning, I guess.
In winter they sweat. So.
Oh yes, exactly. But no, it's as I was saying, you do have to be at a certain mindset for sweat. You do have to be at a certain mindset for Fulci for a variety of reasons.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like Fulci, I think. The first one I ever saw of Fulci's work was, of course, Zombie, which I think is always the perfect start-off point if you want to get into Fulci. But it's definitely his most it's definitely his most coherent film, and it's his, like, most, I guess, mainstream film, if that makes any sense.
Yes, I think that most people, whenever the topic of Fulci comes up with a lot of my coworkers, they either respond with "who" or someone who has seen a Fulci film, which turns out to be Zombie. They'll usually say, "Oh, it's that guy that did that film where the zombie fought a shark and then somebody got a splinter in their eye," and, you know, so on and so forth. So it was basically that. But obviously Fulci has done so much more than that. But it's still kind of, as you can see right now, there is a sort of acquired taste, if you want to call it that. And I've said it before that in Fulci films, people, animals, everything seems to spring leaks, and rather severe leaks, put it that way.
I like how you call them leaks rather than just them bleeding.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, it really is just kind of he does turn the hose on, put it that way.
Yeah.
When it comes to to the blood or whatever it is that people yes.
And it's not the type of,
there you go.
Yeah, well, that's the thing though. Like Fulci, like when it comes to his blood and gore in his films, it's not the type of gore that you would say it's fun, because it's very visceral.
Yes.
And sometimes very, depending what is happening, almost mean-spirited in a way. But I think that's the point.
Well, speaking of mean-spirited, exactly. But it's...
Yeah. He had some porridge.
Yeah. Yummy. So it's always, you're absolutely right. It is very, there is a mean spiritedness to it. And it's whether it's the visuals or it's the audio, put it that way, that really does, again, it goes back to what I said before in terms of you have to be in a mood to watch, to watch Fulci. And that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
And certainly later on, you'll see the other reason why you have to be in a mood, because the dialogue, as I said before, is a little cheesy. Cheesy is probably not the right word for it. There's a sort of like haha fun thing. I mean, to be fair, there is sort of.
To be fair,
there is some fun to have. Hey, Catherine McCall.
Woo!
She's a Fulci mainstay for a lot of
Actually. Yeah, and also she appeared in all three Gates of Hell movies as well. But it adds different characters, not the same character, though.
Well, yes, exactly. Well, it'd be kind of difficult. I shouldn't spoil that, because if you have to see House by the Cemetery. I kind of just spoiled it there, but whatever. Ignore me.
That's okay. This is a spoiler podcast, Pat, so that's
okay,
all good.
Okay, whatever. If that's the case, then I mean her character doesn't survive there, obviously, in House by the Cemetery. But and given that Fulci has if you know Fulci as a director, in terms of his you want to put it nicely as possible, but Fulci was demanding of his actors, put it that way. That's putting it, as I said, it's putting it lightly. If you ever get a chance, I'm sure that there are Fulci fans out there who know exactly what we're talking about, but if you ever watch any of
I keep forgetting, like, we're watching Tubi, and it's like, oh yeah, we're watching Tubi, there's going to be an ad that pops up at some point. And luckily, this is Australian Tubi, so the ads don't last long on this version of Tubi.
Okay. I was just going to say that I still can't hear the film bead, so.
Hold on. And it's a grocery shop. Let's get to your Fulci here, and we're back.
Hey.
That's 8 minutes, Louisiana. 44 seconds.
So again, right here, this is the other reason why, again, Fulci is, you have to be in a mood, given the dialogue. Which, to be fair, there is a cheesiness, as I said, but there are some instances where it gets very grating, which is, I guess it's part of the charm of Fulci films. But I know that some people will kind of be like, why can't people die sooner, sort of thing.
And that dude just fell to his death.
There you go. And he's just suffered internal bleeding.
One of the things I find interesting about, well, not just, you know, Fulci films, but just Italian horror films in general, is like, for most of them, and particularly in the 70s, a lot of them shot without sound. And so they can redub the voices in post. So they can do an Italian dub and an English dub. So that's why they never use sound at all during, you know, Italian horror cinema in the '70s. I know it might have changed around this time because I sort of noticed now that Catherine McCall, it looks like her voice isn't dubbed. But there are other actors whose voices are obviously dubbed over, which I always find hilarious.
Yes, and of course there's, and of course also they're speaking English. The English speaking actors are obviously speaking English, but they've had their voices redubbed in cases, and it's just.
That's the other thing too. Like, even if you're an English speaking actor starring in a Fulci film or an Italian horror film, you actually had to redub your own voice, or somebody else would redub your own voice.
And just again with the sweat, people just instantly start sweating in Fulci films for no apparent reason. Although they, well, I mean, I shouldn't say for no apparent reason. Of course, Miss McCall now is completely dry. But
there's not a single bit of sweat on her compared to everyone else.
But it's just, I don't know. I understand completely. Oh, okay. All right. I take that back.
There's a little bit.
I take that back. But, you know, it's kind of just, it's really sort of, I understand for the dramatic purpose and everything like that. But it's just at the same time, it's just, you turn it on just a little too much. But again, that's part of the charm of the, Fulci, I think.
There's a lot of everyone is sweating in this movie like they're Dwayne Johnson in Fast Five.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh, that phone rang. Louise Lasser must be nearby. It's a rotary phone. I don't think Louise Lasser will be on this episode, since she is driving around with Batch and Marcy at the moment.
Yes.
So she's giving them the nightmare of a lifetime right now. So, oh, it's Martin Scorsese.
Nice.
Oh, wait, that's not him. Joe's Plumbing.
Yeah.
What an unoriginal name.
Speaking of leaks.
Yes.
Exactly.
That is... See, this is why it was good that you're on here, Pat. So.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Although I just find it funny. It's the most unoriginal name, Joe's Plumbing, because we even have like a company here in Australia. I think it's called Joe's something. It's also like Joe's Mowing Company, I think it is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, so. But apparently they're a bunch of assholes, but that's beside the point. But anyways, though.
Well, this guy looks like.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say this guy kind of looks like I should say we just met him, so I can't really determine whether or not he's an asshole yet. But you know, I don't know. Generally speaking, I wouldn't be smoking right away just introducing myself as a plumber. But whatever, I don't know. It's the 80s, so whatever. That's our explanation.
Exactly.
It was the 80s.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was the 80s. You're allowed to get away with that stuff at the time. But it kind of blows my mind now that I think about it now. This movie came out in 81. This movie is 41 years old. So this movie in 9 years' time is going to be half a century old.
That's crazy. I just realized that a lot of the stuff that I grew up. I mean, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer recently, you know, hit 20. And I thought that, oh, really? Wow. And of course, you know, all the stuff, all the films you grew up with are turning those magical sort of having those magical anniversaries, you know, 20th, 25th, 30th. It's just like, dude, we're old.
Yeah, I know. It's even like a while back. This was many years on. The Super Podcast, you and James Orrell, we did a commentary for Freddy versus Jason.
Which
commentary I still listen to every now and again. And and that movie next year is going to be 20 years old next year.
Gosh, yeah, I know. It's, and you think back and it's like, it's, I know we're supposed to be talking about the beyond, but it's just kind of, I bring this up and it's like, oh, this movie's old. But then you realize you just get off on tangents. But yeah, just 20 years after Freddy vs. Jason first premiered. Wow. And it's kind of,
yeah, I know.
Look at it now, and it's just like, there's, I mean, obviously now they couldn't have put it together given the circumstances, but it was kind of one of those, it was a long in production development hell, if you want to call it that.
Mm.
And they finally, when they finally get it, guess what is this guy? Yeah.
It's just basically finding like where the leak is.
Well, I just, it's like, I don't think a hammer and chisel, if you want to call it that, because that looks like actually what it looks like.
I think that is a hammer and chisel, and he's using that to knock out a piece of the wall. I'm not sure if that's how it works.
Yeah, I don't think that, I don't think that's part of the toolkit, normal toolkit for plumbers, but I was just going to say, that looks actually like one of the nails that they were using at the beginning on the fellow's.
Oh yeah, it does too. That's right, back when they were at the beginning where they basically crucified him.
Yes, when Schweck was and then had subsequently had acidic porridge dumped on him.
Yes. Oh, porridge, yes.
Yes, exactly. So apparently, yeah, plumbers carry hammer and chisels with them in Louisiana, so why not?
It was the 80s. You were allowed to do that back then.
That's right. Yeah. What am I saying? That's right. I completely forgot that it is the 80s. So I guess anything goes. And of course, gas lamps, or not gas lamp, but oil lamp.
Yes. Because nobody has flashlights in this movie. Well, the interesting thing is like with, Fulci's Gates of Hell trilogy. Like, they were basically kind of released in quick succession because City of the Living Dead came out in 1980, mm-hmm. and both this and House by the Cemetery came out in 81. So, Fulci must have literally made these three movies back to back. And not only that, he also made New York Ripper at the same time as well.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just trying to remember because, trying to remember where House by the Cemetery was filmed. It was filmed, I think it was filmed in and around Massachusetts. It was filmed in and around Massachusetts, that's right. So you've got basically, he's basically just going up and down the East Coast filming his trilogy. And that's like, it's kind of insane. It's like, because The Beyond came out in Italy in April, and then House by the Cemetery came out in August. So yeah, he was busy, put it that way.
Not only that, because Zombie came out in 79, so basically between 79 and 83, like 3 years, like Fulci mm-hmm. released five films in 3 years. It's kind of mind-blowing because he must be a very fast director. He's almost giving Ridley Scott a run for his money in the directing apartment.
Well, I'm guessing, this is just the thing. I mean, maybe it's because that he was so demanding that he was just, you know, he was like,
Oh, yes. There we go. See, this is, there goes eye trauma. We got eyes coming out. It wouldn't be a Fulci film if somebody's eye wasn't pulled out or stabbed.
There you go. It's just, it's not quite to the same extent. I mean, that's a good one because I was more, when I first saw Zombie, I was initially taken aback by the infamous splinter scene. But when I first, but you know, looking back, I would say that I was more just, it's like, you gotta stop.
Yeah, I mean, there's a woman and her dog in the middle of the road, and you're still driving towards them. And he literally just like, she stops like she only just saw them just now, even though she's seen them for at least 2 miles beforehand.
Oh, I know. But no, as I was saying, I would say that. I bet those contacts hurt.
Oh yeah, just
the giant sclera lenses.
Yeah, those ones in particular, because those lenses, like, they look bigger, but also they have a bit more because they're, you know, because the irises or the lines in them are look like they got a lot of detail in them. So I can imagine they're not only they're not thin ones, they're very thick ones because of that.
Yeah.
And they would hurt.
Yes. But getting back to what I was saying, I would say that probably the scene from Zombie with the splinter in the eye. Oh yes, there's this is again another sort of thing with Fulci films. There are a lot of characters that just go around by themselves, just saying the person's name. It's a common thing with Fulci. But again, I keep on getting sidetracked. But no, as I was saying, I would say that there was more upset with the splinter in the eye from Zombie than I was with the eye gouging in the Beyond. Just for the fact that it really is kind of comical. It's just like he just looks like he's just like popping it out from like clay or whatever. Whereas in Zombie, it's kind of there's a lot of sort of. The whole sequence is elongated, and it really is sort of like wince and doozing when you do see it, because it's just something that's, you know it's going to happen, but you're not sure when it's going to happen. Whereas here, obviously, we just had something like, you know, hand reaches out, pops the eyeball out, and that was it.
Exactly. But that probably won't be the last time we see eye trauma in this movie.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Damn it, Joe, you're supposed to be cleaning the lake. There's still water everywhere.
Yeah, really.
I'm giving you a one star on Yelp.
Or whatever the 80s equivalent was for Yelp. Yes. Yeah, I think he's dead, lady.
And she's standing right there. How can you not tell he's dead?
See, this is what I was saying before. There's people in Fulci films have a delayed reaction to pretty much everything happening. Obviously I would be. Yeah.
And her reaction is like, oh, okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Are you okay?
It's just kind of. I was going to say, they're on their time. Okay. She reacts to that.
But not to the dead body of Joe.
Yes, exactly. I was gonna say that. Gosh, that must have been really painful to wear.
Oh, it would have to have been. It would have to have been.
But I was gonna say that they're on Newfoundland time. That's a Canadianism, I guess you want to call it that, because if you're not aware, Newfoundland is on the far east coast of Canada, and so it has its own time zone, actually. So it's the latest time zone compared to the rest of the country. And so
we're back at ads, and it's the supermarket ad again.
Do you like
your dead bodies melting with a lot of goo coming out of it? Well, come to the supermarket and buy some products.
Exactly. It's just staring at this. I guess this was directed by Quentin Tarantino, wasn't it?
I was gonna say.
I mean, they kind of had to hide it, but it was this.
Oh, super! It's HelloFresh.
Well, there you go. Quentin Tarantino directing HelloFresh.
And we're back at 23:20. There we go.
Speaking of fresh,
today's HelloFresh order, it's dead bodies.
I was gonna say they're locked in freshness.
Yes. And that dude who just died. And also a thing I always find funny, characters don't only just die in a Fulci film, their literal bodies have to melt along with it.
Oh, yes, well. I know. That's the thing. You just, they need to have that. Well, case in point, Schweck at the beginning, where he had the one gash, and just instantly it's like there's whole, half of his face is already damaged. It's just kind of, there's an over the top, if you want to call it that, an over the top aspect of it.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Oh, he's warning him with an autopsy.
We're at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even have an actual name. It's just called hospital.
I'm sure if they ever did a 4K restoration, I'm sure you could make out what exactly that sign says. Or whatever. Let's just go with hospital. That's the main thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say this, though. In terms of 4K restorations, House by the Cemetery and New York Ripper, that Blue Underground release, are top-notch. Top-notch 4K restorations of these of those films.
Which, it's weird because speaking of the Blue Underground releases, those cannot be the same grocery bags that Catherine brought in House by the Cemetery. But whatever, I don't know, maybe. But I was gonna say that I was kind of a little annoyed because House by the Cemetery, the 3-disc limited edition Blu-ray came out at the first half of the year, and then 6 months later, Blue Underground put out the 4K edition, and I was kind of, it was kind of like, well, what was the point of them? Whatever, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a 4K player yet, so again, I shouldn't complain, whatever. But that being said, had I known, I would have preferred to have gotten the 4K release first rather than sticking with the standard Blu-ray. I mean, you're not mindlessly buying all of this stuff. Ooh, ominous brainwave Uh-oh. Beeping. But you do want to have a heads up notice just in case, you know, something like that happens. But I guess they wanted to sell.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's and again, it's weird. So some films do warrant the 4K upgrade. Others don't. Obviously, this one really benefited from the 4K restoration.
Hmm.
But then again, that being said, the original Blu-ray release, the 3-disc limited edition that was released earlier in the year, is still really good.
Mm.
And of course, it includes the score for the film, which is, again, it's, I have to get this right. In terms of who scored the. So it was Fabio Frizzi returned to do the score, whereas Walter Rizzati was the one who did the House by the Cemetery. Again, it's sort of, I mean, they're both really good scores in their own right. It's just kind of, again, that guy's got a lot of chest hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is not chest hair on his chest. That is an actual carpet.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like, I'm half Italian, and it's kind of, I understand that, you know, some Italians are hairier than others, but I'm not that hairy. I'm not even close to being that hairy, but why is she? Okay, so.
Like, she shouldn't be in the autopsy room. No. She just walks in. There's no one in there, no mortician to kind of show her, the bodies and all that. I mean, see, she just walks in.
Well, exactly. Just whatever.
That's why there is no logic in a Fulci film.
Exactly. Show some respect for the dead.
Exactly.
Even though they're going to, whatever.
I'm just going to walk very, very slowly and creep this girl out with this trolley.
Yes. Really, another Fulci aspect is this thing. He always she really just he hasn't been even embalmed yet. And so she's just like, oh, I'm just going to dress you up just for your, you know, for
burial. And also, morticians can do that. They can organize putting the suits. I mean, you can bring the suits to them.
Yeah.
And they'll put the suits on for you. You don't have to do it yourself. Maybe she is a mortician. I don't know.
Who knows?
The wife maybe could be a mortician. Oh my gosh, that bottle of water, that glass jug of water is falling over. And she can just go in, and the daughter can just go in too.
Really? Where is security? I mean, really?
There's no such thing as security in a Fulci film.
That's true. Dun dun dun.
I forgot. That's actually acid in the jar, not water. Oh, and again, yes. Her face starts to melt. The mum's face.
He really does. He really does like the. I mean, it's kind of again. Fulci's gore is. You have to admire the effects, the effort that goes into his effects, and just the facial expressions. But it's really, again, it's a combination of the effects, but also just the sounds that he really...
And also it lingers, too. Like, it really lingers.
She sprung a leak, too, so yes.
Yes.
So,
I mean, I guess that's the thing, like... Sorry by time, but nobody does gore like Fulci. Like... I don't think I've know any other horror filmmaker or just any filmmaker in general who does similar gore to what he does in his films, because it's like you say, Pat, it's the combination of so many different things, but also I think because he lingers on it for quite a while and the sound, and also like just like it literally almost like it's in real time. We're seeing this body melt in real time.
Exactly. And you know, I don't think it's kind of like, I was just, whatever.
That daughter is traumatized for life.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And for some reason, the doors are now locked.
Yes. And that blood, she's being chased by blood.
I'm pretty sure that she had opened the door previous. Oh, maybe.
Oh. Oh, another dead body. It's a zombie from Zombie.
Hey.
And then the next day she went off to the insane asylum.
There you go. Meanwhile.
Now, see, Catherine McCall here, like, it looks like she's not dubbed over. Like, that's her natural voice.
Yes.
So maybe this was around the time, like, Italian horror films were definitely kind of moving away from not dubbing everything over and letting, like, a mixture of English-speaking actors record it on set. Mm-hmm. But then if another actor might get dubbed over later. Because I do remember, like, in House by the Cemetery, even though that was her voice in the film, she looked like she was dubbed over in that film.
Oh,
as
yes,
well.
It was. It was. And, you know, if I recall, it was very noticeable. I mean, obviously all the some dubbing is more noticeable than others, put it that way. Mm. But in that film, it was her dubbing was noticeable. I don't know. It was. But then again, that's. Keep on coming back to the whole Fulci charm of the the quality of the dubbing and of the dialogue. I guess it's all part of the all comes back to that charm.
Hmm. Well, according to trivia, originally Fulci wanted actually his zombie star Tessa Farrow to play the lead of the role, but by this time, when the movie was about to get made, she had left acting permanently, so she retired from acting.
Well, I mean, as we've alluded to before, it's kind of after actors in Fulci films are kind of they're it's not under duress, but they're, as I said before, Fulci is a demanding director who was prone to being a little animated on set, let's say.
Yeah.
I was going to say there were tears involved, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's... This poor girl, she has to, like, go to a funeral where both her parents are dead, and I don't even know what happened to the mum.
Well,
she
yeah,
just
I know.
Died of fright, and then just fell over and had acid poured all over her head.
Exactly. You would think that she would have woken up, but whatever. I don't know. It's it's Fulci, so let's roll with it. It gave him a good excuse to have.
Yeah, well, I think with Fulci films, there's always kind of like, yeah, they're very incoherent and a lot of the time they make no sense. They have no logic whatsoever. But sometimes I think that may be the point, and maybe they kind of more have this sort of dreamlike, surreal atmosphere to them.
Well, in
like they operate more like on a dream level or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of and again, the Beyond is obviously no different with you know, obviously with the ending is very sort of ambiguous in terms of just what happens. Ooh.
And now she's gone blind too, the daughter.
Well,
I suppose given everything that happened to her, I can't blame her for going blind.
Well, exactly. Maybe that's what happened to, yeah.
See, this is what happens when you leave a leak unattended. Like, there's literal river flowing under that woman's house.
Oh, exactly. And I swear I've seen that staircase before, but whatever.
Well, apparently, according to trivia, when you see the library in this movie, it's the same library from House by the Cemetery.
Oh, okay. I just need that the more you know star to go over my head right now, but whatever. I didn't realize that.
Liza!
Again, this goes into...
Well, I'm not Liza Minnelli.
People just wandering around, saying people's names. And of course, getting scolded. That's another thing. Between this and House by the Cemetery, people do stuff that they're not supposed to do, and they get scolded afterwards.
Yes. Or they should be doing it, but they still go and do it anyway. Or
well, exactly.
Something horrible is happening, and they barely react to it until, it's too late.
Yep. So it is, they are on Newfoundland time, put it that way.
Exactly. Exactly.
No offense to Newfoundlanders who might be listening.
Yes, no offense on the show. So
yes, we try to offend everyone.
Yes. Wait a minute, this is a room 237. Swike.
This is exposition.
Yes. We're going to get exposition about what is going on, and it's still not going to make any sense.
Well, exactly. Now, I'm trying to remember if, because House by the Cemetery, the script did have a script doctor, which, you know, probably didn't help with it. It didn't really help, but no, there was, as you said, as we pointed out many times already, there is a sort of an incoherentness with Fulci's films, but I'm just trying to remember if there was anything in particular with The Beyond where you could have foreseen. I'm saying there's a blind character on the screen here, but I was just no pun intended. But I was going to say that you could have foreseen that there would be difficulties given that if the script was need of work. Put it that way.
Yeah.
So again, we going to Wikipedia is probably handy with this, but Fulci had no official script while filming The Beyond, only a treatment that ran 3 pages in length. So and then of course the fact that Fulci spoke Italian and the majority of the cast were in English. So you do have that. And of course, the fact that Fulci being Fulci, probably. Nice.
I got blood on my hands. Oh, wait, it's ketchup. Sorry.
That instantly changes. Yeah, I'd be scared too.
She just runs off.
Why not?
Into the night.
Yep. I don't think that's very wise for her to do that without her dog, but or her dog followed her, so.
Yeah, well, the dog followed her, but even then, like, the dog didn't have its leash or anything, so.
Well, exactly.
It's almost as like if Fulci doesn't know how blind people work in this movie.
Well, I guess, well, the theory, I guess, is that people go blind when exposed to evil, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, is one of those things that we get an instant replay.
I was going to say, we are getting a literal instant replay of the blind woman leaving the house over and over again.
Wait a minute. That, okay, whatever. I don't know. It's I was going to point out that the dog had its harness on, but I don't know. I don't see it.
I don't think it had it in another scene. I didn't recall seeing a harness on it.
I know. Continuity. Oh, well.
It's almost like it was shot at two separate times. And they were like, oh, shit. The continuity person was like, oh, shit, we've got to put a harness on that dog.
Well, you know, I mean, they were probably scared of Fulci. He was probably, you know, whatever. I mean, they could. I don't know what the Italian word for continuity is, so whatever.
Yes. I might have to change that room to 247. Open up this door.
I wonder if that's the same hatchet from House by the Cemetery, but whatever.
Ooh. Could be. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Fulci kind of reuses similar props and all that throughout his films.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, there's so many sheets in here. And they're all dusty.
Oh, sheet. Yes. Yes. I know. Bad. Lame. So, again, she's not really concerned about...
that is a lot of dust.
I know. But the thing is, she's not really concerned about the woman who ran off into the night blind and her dog didn't really, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's like, you think like, a blind woman just ran off into the night. Maybe I should go look for her. No, I'm more interested in what's in this room.
Yeah, that's another thing. There are for films like New York Ripper and everything like that, but it just seems like for this these trilogy of films, these Gates of Hell trilogy, there really doesn't seem to be, police don't exist apparently in, or emergency services don't exist in these films. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a...
I think you're right, because it's been a while since I've seen City of the Living Dead, which I think is probably my favorite of the trilogy. And, you know, I rewatched House by the Cemetery earlier this year, and I don't recall seeing any police in that movie.
Yeah, I guess there was, I don't know. But police don't exist, put it that way.
Oh my gosh, it's the creature from House by the Cemetery.
Yes.
And it does look like the creature from House by the Cemetery.
It does. I mean, they've slightly different makeup, but whatever.
It's almost as if Fulci is just reusing the same props over and over again out of laziness. I love how music in these films, like, goes, and then it just peters out very quietly like that. Like it's just fading out.
So is Lisa actually going to tell John that Emily's ran away and just we have to go find her?
Nope. Yeah. She ran off into the night. That poor woman is probably somewhere in the swamp being eaten by alligators. And these two do not give a fuck whatsoever.
Oh, I know. It's just like, let's redecorate. And of course, what are the odds that Lisa didn't tell... Oh, yeah, okay. I was going to say, there was a man here.
There was a dead body up there before. I don't recall those nails being there.
I swear there was somebody here. Are you sure it was a he?
I mean, it could have been any dead body. That body was charred up. It could have been anyone, really.
Yeah.
It could have been a kid, for all we know. It might have been Jim Caviezel. I don't know.
Who knows? Well, thanks, Captain Obvious, for the "we certainly look old." Seems so impossible. It is quite absurd. You know, the fact that you still haven't gone after Emily, who's, as you said, is probably wandering around in the swamps, but whatever. Let's talk about this thing I might have seen.
And nails. We can't forget the nails.
Yes, nails. Oh yes, my imagination.
Yeah, who exactly?
Who is Emily? Yes.
Yes, it's like, oh, that woman I let right off blindly into the no pun intended, into the... Oh, I forgot about her. I better go find her. Oh, yeah, that was the blind woman's name, Emily.
Like, never mind that. Where's the book?
You have the Necronomicon? Meanwhile. Oh, Ad, again! It's HelloFresh again! Directed by Quentin Tarantino!
Yeah, really. Yeah, I don't...
I don't get this ad. It's like, it's shot from the feet going around the supermarket, and there's no point.
Well, again, it might be just kind of like, I don't know. Well, you don't really get it. It's kind of, are they showing off shoes? And then it's just HelloFresh.
So yeah, exactly.
Maybe HelloFresh is selling shoes. Who knows?
Yes. And it is, we're back at 45:54. Oh, well, now we know Emily's alive.
Yeah, really. She just took a stroll.
And somehow she got back all the way to her house. In the middle of the night, in the swamp.
And just chilling out at the piano, you know, sort of thing.
In the Garden of Eden, honey.
Meanwhile.
Now tell me, Liza, do I look like Eric Idle? Martin.
You know, Martin, if you were a responsible person, you would have asked about Emily.
Somebody should have asked out about anyone about Emily in this movie. Well, anyone. Exactly. I mean, the dead people in this movie so far probably have more... We'd actually be the ones who asked what happened to Emily.
Well, exactly. It's like, no one's bothered. There are many questions. I have many questions. People have questions. But, you know, it's Fulci, why not? Ah, ha, ha, yes.
Bill Moseley. Oh, wait, that's on him.
This is awkward and silly. I'm sorry for this whole thing.
That dude is obviously dumb, because he just went, "You wanna buy the book?" Oh my gosh, he sounds like the creepy old man from Family Guy. You want to get some popsicles? Got some popsicles down in the basement, you piggly son of a bitch. I like how this Martin guy walks around with a pipe.
Oh, I know, really.
Oh, I low blow.
I think I'm going to see things. Okay.
Yeah, unlike really. Emily. Oh.
Yeah, really. What are you cruel. Again, it's like no one, whatever. I don't know. I'm going to keep bringing up Emily until someone manages to find out what happened to her.
Exactly. People are not asking about Emily at all. All these characters know is that she went off into the night, or at least Liza knows that she went off into the night, and she hasn't told anyone about it.
Meanwhile, back in this... back in this hole.
Well, I think this is more of a job for a plumber, not a cement mixer.
Yeah, really. No, again, it's just many questions. No one bothers to ask what happened to the plumber. Why, you know, whatever.
Why the? Oh, there is Fulci right there as the librarian. And Fulci actually appears in a lot of his films. I've noticed that a lot because he also appeared in House by the Cemetery. He also appeared in New York River. And he also was the lead in Cat and the Bride.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure no one... and I'm sure no one dare question his acting.
Definitely not. I'm just laughing because, like, it's Lucio Fulci. And like you say, he spoke Italian throughout this entire film. And it probably... Like, he's dubbed over makes him sound like Foghorn Leghorn. I say, I will go get you that book.
Be careful, Dr. Freudstein was hung here. Again, as by the cemetery, so.
Yes. I would be surprised, like, because, like, as you said, like, The Beyond and House by the Cemetery came out, at least in Italy, like a few months apart. I would be surprised if, like, Fulci literally shot both these movies at the same time and was like, you know what, I'm going to use this library. I'm going to shoot the scenes for House by the Cemetery with this library earlier today, and then later today I'm going to shoot these scenes again for The Beyond.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I could...
Oh! And Martin died.
Oh, yeah.
And not only did he die, he now has to be eaten by tarantulas.
Yes, exactly. This is always sort of... I mean, that even though the spiders are obviously kind of, like, hokey, there is... I mean, obviously from the spiders in the background, they're just like, you know... you can tell.
Yeah, like, those two there are fake, but this one in the front is a very much a real spider.
But... It's always, there's just the way that, again, that Fulci presents it and just sort of obsesses over the scene in general, just in terms of the spiders having lunch, put it that way. It's just, it makes it kind of, you forget that it's really, I shouldn't say you forget, but I mean, you're repulsed, if you want to call it that, by his choice of his camera angles, the sounds, obviously the gore effects. It's just all combined dramatic jazzy music.
The score to this movie is just weird.
Yes. Well, I mean, when you're being attacked by obvious rubber spiders, you need to have something in there to sort of liven it up. But
it's so obvious because, like, it is a mixture of real spiders and fake ones, and it's so obvious which one are the fake ones.
Well, yeah, but once the fun begins, put it that way, it's just sort of you forget that, and yeah.
And also, like, Fulci could have just settled with just the dude falling off the ladder and hitting his head and then dying. He has to, like, throw in spiders in there as well.
Why not?
Exactly.
But obviously, yep, there got
ew.
People spring leaks.
That spider bit my lip. I needed that lip.
Well, exactly. Just chowing down. I mean, even though it's quite clearly that it's all just rubber and, you know, just
and I'm sure spiders don't do this.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like, why not?
My eye! I needed that eye! This eye sprung a leak.
Well, there you go. Fulci is a he certainly likes his leaks, put it that way.
Ew!
When you were talking about earlier the eye trauma, yeah, we were in store for more, put it that way.
Yeah, well, it's not just eye trauma, it's literal, like, the murder of the eye.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know.
And then a tongue.
Why not?
This is some weird French kissing going on here.
Oh, I know.
It's still going, and that's the thing about Fulci. He just lingers on these death scenes for so long.
Oh, yes. Which, again, it's just it's to the point where you forget that it's just sort of... You forget the kind of, like, obvious rubber effects and everything like that.
Mm.
And then you just focus on, you know, that.
The visceralness of the whole scene.
The visceralness of it, yes, exactly. But,
And that being said, Pat, we're about almost an hour into this movie, and I still have no idea what is going on.
No, well, again, it's just roll with it. I mean,
creepy stuff is happening, and it has something to do with that motel, and that's pretty much it.
Pretty much. But again,
there better not be any velociraptors in there.
Mm-hmm. But I did like that shot. Clever girls. I did like that shot. I did like that shot just now with the palm trees just framing. Yeah, there we go.
Mm.
That one palm. Although it's kind of obvious that they just stuck that. We need to close in this shot. So somebody just stick a palm branch over that just to close over the area there. That'll work. Yeah, sure. But it's just okay, Michelle, who played Martin. We need you to lie here, and we're just gonna put like rubber spiders all over you. Yeah, it'll be great. Sure, go for it.
Like my favorite thing. This would have been brought up if we were still doing House by the Cemetery. Is like there was a death scene in that film that actually meant to involve eye trauma. Because, you know, why not?
Yes.
But apparently it was cut from the movie because Fulci didn't like the effects of it.
Oh, I know, which is weird because, I mean, there is a hokiness to to a lot of Fulci's effects. But again, it's just, as we said already, the fact that he lingers and then the combination of the sounds and music and just, you know, it's over the top, but at the same time, it's very sort of repelling, if you want to call it that. It's gross out.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of gross out, if that makes sense. I know. Yeah. You'd have to watch these films, folks, in order to be able to get what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, this was Emily's house, right? Because she's not here. And it looks like it's been abandoned for many years.
Yes, exactly. We've seen that word before.
Ebola? Is this Ebola? I don't know what that joke was going for, but...
Whatever.
I think that station wagon was also in House by the Cemetery as
maybe,
well.
Maybe, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, let's keep rolling. Yeah, that'll work.
Somebody should actually make an edit, like a fan edit, and combine these three movies together, the Gates of Hell trilogy, but set them at the same time or something like that.
But that would make even less sense when you think about it, because again, Catherine McCall would just show up in all three.
There's one simple explanation for that, Pat, and that's make her those characters triplets.
There you go. And of course now she. Now, is she going
the
to
maid.
Be slow? Yes, is she going to be slow to react again?
Yes.
I don't know. He's just like, why weren't you at the funeral, lady? You seem to be. Well, then again, you really didn't look like you really cared much about it, but you were more concerned about the corpse that bubbled up. But whatever.
Exactly. And she's only in there with just a mop and bucket, and it's not even the type of bucket you would use to mop floors with. It's just like, you know.
Just a random like a rubber bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
Bucket, but plastic bucket.
Yeah. Take off all these sheets.
We need to show that this room is really dusty.
See, this is why if like whenever I stay at places or like if I ever get a house in the ew. a house in the future. I'm not going to make, it's going to be very modern and not a fixer upper like this.
Now, you would think that after what she already saw, you think that she would have realized that probably not a good idea to just be sticking your hand and, you know.
Yeah, because who knows what's in there.
Whatever water that is.
Yeah, who knows what's in there.
A lot of hair.
Ew, pubes.
Ew. Yeah,
She just throws it on the ground. At least the tub's going down.
Oh, yes, exactly. Like, I wonder what's going to show. Ah, there we go.
That's another dead body.
It was that guy's pubes all along. Oh,
so, it probably was. Sorry.
It's like, wait a minute. You were buried. I'm sorry.
I came back because you didn't react to my death earlier.
There you go. That's exactly what happened. Like, I'm really sorry.
I like how it's his head. He's all got the makeup and zombified, but the rest of his body is fine.
Yes, and of course he's going to start drooling. Again, it's just sort of... You could have at least... Yep, there we go.
There we go.
You could have
pick her up.
You could have at least done more with the... well, I guess that he was already dressed, so... Wait a minute, that's not even the shirt that he was buried with. What the hell?
I know! He was wearing a suit! Uh-oh, she's about to get nailed.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and eye trauma. But the funny thing is, though, when he's pushing her back towards the wall, the nail was way higher than her head.
Sure, why not? Let's roll with it. Whatever. Are you really gonna?
Like, well, that is true. Like, am I gonna make sense out of a Fulci movie? I should stop trying.
But are you gonna really argue with Fulci for that matter?
Well, but that is true too.
Also, who likes those? Who's gonna? Meanwhile.
Meanwhile, back at the Borg.
I was gonna say, who lights those torches? But whatever.
And those dead bodies are still out. And yeah, it's the same.
I don't know. Is this? I can't remember. This guy. I can't remember if this guy was warning to be warning that I'm gonna do an autopsy.
Oh, he doesn't have the cult of fawn. It's okay.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe on this head. Nope, no cult of fawn here.
Ah,
but he's got a different tattoo. Which I did not steal from George A. Romero.
There you go. Dun, dun, dun.
That tattoo on the zombie's arm was sticking out of his skin. And we're back to an ad. And it's the Hello Fresh. Yes. So do you like going to morgues and checking out dead bodies? Well, we have products that you can get from Hello Fresh.
I mean, to be fair, it does... I was going to say, this woman's shoes look like they've been really well used in terms of the bottoms, but everything else is, you know, squeaky clean. So,
yeah.
Whatever.
And we're back at 1 hour, 1 minute, and 56 seconds.
Meanwhile.
I wonder if people are still looking for me.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just kind of like, whatever. Stupid ableist people.
Yes. He's not going to be a good boy, Dickie, in a second. Uh-oh, I hear squeaking.
Again, a common theme in Fulci's films. There's a lot of...
Who's playing with my automatic piano?
Again, it doesn't make sense, but at the same time, it's, you can appreciate, at least appreciate the atmosphere that he's going, that she's going for.
Yeah, well, with Fulci, though, like, when he does, like, scenes like this, like, creepy scenes, I like the fact that he really does not use music at all. He just lets the sound effects do all the work.
Mm-hmm. I'm just laughing at the zombie that just... But, no, you're absolutely right. He does have that... I mean, for a lot of his well, I shouldn't say a lot of his films, many of his films... do have the do present the atmosphere, but it's kind of, I don't want to say, it's honestly, they are undermined by the dubbing in some cases, but again, it's, that's charm, people.
Exactly
or the incoherentness of the story, but whatever, let's just roll with it.
Yeah,
who are you? Again, what happened to Dickie?
And also, where is she? Where is she right now? Because she's not at her house anymore.
No, really. I mean, whatever. It's just...
If I stand very still, she won't notice me. Oh, well, sorry. Poor choice of words. Sorry. I mean, if I stand very still, she won't hear me. There we go. Much easier. More politically correct. And I don't know why I'm talking with a New York accent, but that's how I roll. Oh, another zombie. I don't want you to take my contact lenses.
Yeah, that guy really gets around.
Don't come any closer. Even though we're all standing still and not doing anything.
Meanwhile, the dog couldn't care less.
That dog does not give a shit. Which is not surprising what he does next.
Well, exactly. Like, I can't take no more.
Duh. That zombie's eyes, he was like just looking up like, duh. We get it. You don't want to go back. Stop yelling at us.
Well, exactly. Dickie's probably going to do it. Again, we're saying this now. It hasn't really happened yet, but it'll happen soon. Don't worry.
It's about to.
That dog really could just, like, whatever. I don't know. Attack Dickie.
Attack Dickie. Whoa.
Yeah, I really don't think that seeing eye dogs do that, but whatever.
Dickie was also trained as a guard dog.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, because that dog responded when Emily said attack, so that dog has definitely had guard dog training.
Although she's probably like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Dickie, you're not gonna kill me next, are you?
Yeah,
oh no, Dickie's like, turned into a zombie.
Let's just smear Dickie with red. That'll work. Yes.
Yes. Once again, poor choice of words.
Mm-hmm.
That's again, obviously just a sock puppet.
Well, yeah, again, but it's just, hey, more leaks.
Yes.
But again, it's
Rod just gushing out like it's a...
But again, you have to appreciate... Yeah. It's like, my ear, no.
See, that's the thing. Any other director would have just cut at the front being torn out. But Fonzie's like, nope, we're going to keep going with this.
Sure.
Great, now not only am I blind, I can't hear now too.
Well, there you go, and I can't speak.
That's, oh! Was that intentional, do you think? The fact that the dog ripped out her throat and also took out her ear, so she can no longer talk or hear?
I don't know, I mean, let's go with it. It's Fulci, so let's go with it.
I don't know if it was intentional or not, but if it isn't, I'm going to say it is, because it actually adds an interesting element to the whole movie. But even then, she's probably dead anyway, so.
Well, exactly. But and as I was saying, you do have to admire that that Fulci goes for the gusto when it comes to these things. I know I say, like, oh, people spring leaks, but at least he's giving the people their money's worth, put it that way.
Mm.
There's
a reason why Fulci has the reputation as being the godfather of gore.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying before, Pat, before I interrupted you.
No, I was going to say, I was just kind of reiterating what I had said before, is there's a difference in Fulci's gore versus somebody like Tom Savini. But then there's also, hello.
Well, I think with Tom Savini's gore, like, he goes for a much more believable kind of look with the gore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While Fulci definitely goes for more fantastical.
Yes. That being said, it's just kind of, you're repulsed either way, but, you know. Like, I don't want to go for a swim in poo water.
In yucky water. In poo water, yes. And also, stupid plumber.
Yeah, really.
Getting that zero on Yelp.
Yeah, really. Why has no one bothered to... Again, this goes back to the... Why are there no police? Why has no one bothered to fix the whatever... Let's call it the river.
Yes, because there's a little river down there. It's not like a little bit of patch of water. It's a little fucking river down in the basement.
But, again, it's just like... Just put a disclaimer, just Fulci, and then people are like,
that exactly. When in doubt, and you need an answer to anything with this movie, Fulci.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the only answer.
Well, she doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, you spoke to her. I don't think she's going to speak anymore.
Emily exists. I saw her. Well, she did see you. Oh! I apologize for that joke, so...
So, again...
He just talked with a British accent, just said, I knew you were there.
But again, it's just sort of, like, there was a guy that was literally trying to drown you 3 minutes... Well, no, I shouldn't say 3 minutes. Literally minutes ago. And you're just like, whatever.
She's completely forgotten about it.
I think Miss McCall has short-term memory issues.
I'm just trying to think, has Catherine McCall been in any other movies other than the Fulci ones she's done? I'm assuming she has. I'll have to look up what other movies she's been in, like, outside of, you know, the ones she did with Fulci.
She's been in, she has been in films other than Fulci's, but again, it's the last,
she was in Hawk the Slayer.
Yeah, and she
forgot was in that movie.
I'm trying to remember Horsehead. I'm trying to remember if that was the same Horsehead that was, to IMDb.
Oh, the movie Horsehead.
Yes,
the movie Horsehead. I'm assuming it is?
Yes! It's been a long time since I've seen Horsehead, so no wonder I get... but the last movies that she was in was in Horsehead. The Roman Bassett film.
Yeah, well, she's been in other stuff. I'm sort of looking at her, like, filmography. She's, like, was in Theater Bazaar, The Love Punch, A Good Year, the Ridley Scott film, and an underrated little horror movie I saw. But it seems like, the her only really big movies. Like, everything else is kind of, like, supporting kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just laughing at the scene. Just whatever. I don't know.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, and even the river sprung a leak. So there you go.
Sorry. That's brilliant.
Leak. Again, sort of. This doesn't make sense. Like, okay, that painting. I know that's important and everything, but it really hasn't. And of course, the painting starts bringing a leak.
Everything springs a leak in this movie.
Exactly. So, again, it's just sort of the ideas are there, but they're just all sort of kind of like.
Yeah, I would even say compared to City of the Living Dead and House by the Cemetery, I would say Beyond is definitely. Oh, ooh, that's creepy. Shadows in the windows. Yes. That's creepy.
It is.
But I would say that the Beyond is probably even more incoherent than those two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And City of the Living Dead, from what I remember, because it has been ages since I've seen that film, seemed much more coherent compared to like Beyond and House by the Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. No, it's again disclaimer, Fulci. So
yes, but I think I'll add edits. Oh, it's another. I think it's another HelloFresh ad. I think.
I don't know this bok choy. Is this bok choy? I can't remember. I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, it is HelloFresh.
It is HelloFresh, but it was just like whatever.
Oh, and we have a cookie ad. Oh, it's light and easy now, which is an Australian food delivery service.
Nice.
Although I'm very disappointed, and this will be disappointing to Marcy and Batch when they hear this episode, that there was no Wild Secrets ads throughout the Beyond.
Well, it's just kind of like, I don't know, light and easy. I don't know if I don't know if you would describe light and easy Fulci with in the same sentence, but whatever. I don't know.
Exactly. And we're back at 1 minute, 14 minutes, and 3 seconds. I mean, 1 hour, 14 minutes, and 3 seconds, sorry.
Whatever.
Let's get to the hospital. Let's get to the hospital. Nothing bad will happen to us here.
Oh, no. Again, it's like, I really should stop complaining. It's just like, no one's bothered to ask about, you know, what happened to the girl, the little girl? What happened to Emily? What happened to, you know, why was
the
morgue open? Why is anything?
Yeah, like, if the guy, Arthur, went to Emily's house and found it abandoned, where was Emily at when we saw her get murdered?
Whatever.
Was that her house or somewhere else? Yeah. Again, you know, it's Fulci, and I think the only way to kind of accept the insanity and incoherentness and so much logic gaps of this film is just really take it from the viewpoint that it's basically dream logic. Like, it's basically operating on that and also acting more like a surreal dream sequence.
Case in point, you know, pulls a gun from his office in a hospital, because why not?
Exactly.
I guess, I don't know, maybe in Louisiana they have guns in doctor's offices. I don't know. I don't know.
And for some reason, like, I have to tie this movie back to the previous movie we did on this episode, on this show, which was Frankenhooker. So I have to find out how to do that. So I might have to have a little bit of a think. Oh, the zombies are back. Well, good shooting there. You almost shot her ear off.
Yeah, really. I think he's surprised. Well, I think the zombies are. That guy's really surprised.
And that glass literally hit her in the face. I hope it was sugar glass.
Oh, I hope so. It's pretty thick. Yeah. So it's like, let's just, whatever. Now, I've got... I was going to say, let's count all the bullets. Let's count all the bullets he's shot, because he's shot at least 4.
Yep.
5.
Okay, that's 5. Is it going to be 1 more?
6.
Oh! He died.
He made that count.
Oh, that was 7. Maybe there's 8 rounds in that gun.
I don't know. That's a pretty whatever. I'm not a gun expert, so I can't really tell.
I'm gonna shoot you in the heart, the stomach, and the head.
There you go. Now he's out.
Oh great. Oh jeez, I can't go back for my bullets. I better go out this way.
Should have gotten in the elevator, buddy.
His own stupid fault. And I love that this movie, like, yeah, we saw kind of zombified people before, but it's now literally in the last 5 minutes, it's like, oh yeah, we're just going to have zombies rise out of the grave. Maybe again, I shouldn't have come in here.
Again, it's just sort of... really, yeah.
Oh, there's the little girl.
Yes, she's been here the whole time. And again, where are the parents?
Well, the parents are dead.
The parents are dead.
Well, the dad's back as a zombie now. I'm assuming the mother is somewhere.
Who knows?
See, I like how the, like, Liza knows who Jill is, the daughter, but it almost comes across as like, oh, she was best friends with her dad, the plumber, but they only met once. Oh my gosh, that nurse has a butcher's knife. Oh wait, sorry, no, a cleaver.
I don't know what's going on. I'm just hiding here.
Oh, I let a little girl into the morgue, and then all this shit happened. And for some reason, I look like William H. Macy.
I was gonna say, where did he get the bullets? Did he just it's now a video game. They just regenerated. Put it that way.
Exactly. This is where the Resident Evil series got some of their ideas games.
And that just wind just ah.
Four leaks. One of those leaks was not even caused by the shards of glass.
Again, it's just, you know, it's just bulgy.
Faulty. It's all faulty.
And again,
that's how we're going to explain everything that happens in this movie. Faulty.
Exactly. I don't think that would have killed him, but whatever. Let's go with that.
But wasn't like they were deep into him.
Yeah.
Like where?
Well, I guess maybe let's pretend maybe that's some of the shards ended up in his chest. I don't know.
Mm.
That's
exactly. Damn it, you're not a zombie. I can't shoot you. Oh, wait, no, he's picking up another round. Did he just put the gun into the, like, where the bullets shoot out? That's where he was putting the bullet.
Sure, let's... Why not?
That's not how guns work.
I don't think... Well, I don't know. I mean, you're from Australia, I'm from Canada, so we really don't have that... Well, I don't know. We do have guns, but they're not...
Yeah, well, I mean, we have, you know, I mean, in Australia, we have strict gun laws and all that. But even then, as somebody who doesn't really use guns at all, like, even I know how to at least, like, go, like,
load a that's gun.
Load a gun, yeah.
Whatever, let's, again, why does this guy really is kind of like a poor aim. He's just like, I'm going to shoot the guys in the chest, and then I'm going to work my way up. Yeah, I'm going
to. Yeah, like, shoot them in the head. You shot a few in the head, like you did just now, and they fell over and died. Just keep doing that.
It's
not like the zombies are that quick. They're, like, very slow. I like how they just went back in the same room as before.
That autopsy theater must be really, really big. I don't know.
There's like bodies in every room.
I admittedly like this. It's kind of cool that they do have these. I always like these shots with the bodies coming to life. And see, why could again? Like, why waste bullets on body shots rather than just going for the head? Whatever. I don't know.
Exactly.
This guy probably has not seen very many zombie films. Hey, it's Shrek.
No, that's the same zombie from House by the Cemetery. I'm convinced.
It's slightly different music, slightly different makeup, I should say. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it would have been the same model, but they probably had to do it up a little bit so it doesn't look similar.
Well, he's gotten the flower pot treatment, put it that way, in terms of the amount of dirt that's on him. But again, why? this guy sucks. I'm sorry. This guy deserves to die because he cannot. He cannot figure out where the head is.
Exactly. Oh, wait a second. I just realized the same year that Fulci made, I mean, released The Beyond and The House by the Cemetery. He released another film in 81, The Black Cat.
Oh, yeah. Again, that's another one that I... Oh.
Whoa. Ah! Whoa. Good head explosion.
Shot. The money shot.
She just blew off that little girl's head.
Again, for no real reason. That's just like, let's whatever. It's Fulci.
That girl was creeping me out. We had to get rid of her.
Oh, so now he drops the gun. I guess he realized. Arthur, I guess he ran out of cheat codes.
Arthur, you killed the zombie little girl. She was a zombie.
Again, how is this the same? Oh, it's the dream world. At least they were smart enough to see that happen, or to realize what just happened. Yes, it is crazy. Why are we here in this Fulci movie?
So between 1978, and 1986, Fulci made 12 movies.
Wow.
And not only that, he made a lot of movies in quick. Actually, you know what? I take that back. Between 72 to 86, because he had two like years where he had off, he made.
That's reasonable.
Twenty-one movies between 72 and 86.
I guess.
So that would be almost an average of 2 movies a year.
He's busy.
Yeah, I don't like. I gotta admire a filmmaker who works that quickly and literally working on movies back to back. Because you know, a lot of directors, they'll sometimes take a few years to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Fulci does like a Steven Soderbergh where he just like releases them like not only year after year, but sometimes 2 or 3 in the same year.
Well, I guess he like scared a lot of people. It's like, okay, we're going to shoot this movie and it's going to be released this year. Mm. You better do it or else.
Meanwhile, they're now the Arthur and Liza are somehow in a real life version of the painting we've seen a whole billion times because they went into like a door. And I guess they're...
Soft like, pan flizz music.
Yeah. I find that interesting because, you know, you got the Gates of Hell trilogy. The first started City of the Dead, then this film, and House by the Cemetery. Like, it's House by the Cemetery being the last of the trilogy feels like a weird way to kind of end the trilogy on, because that feels like that's the movie you start off with, yes. Then City of the Living Dead, and then The Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say The Beyond kind of has... more of that Gates of Hell feel. And, you know, House by the Cemetery, it's kind of a smaller scale kind of hate story.
I'm just laughing just because we've just seen 2-3 cuts of them turning around, trying to find... Oh.
And now they're both blind.
But it's... obviously, this one, The Beyond, does have that, as you mentioned before, that dreamlike feel to it.
Yeah.
Along with the incoherentness. But it's, whereas House by the Cemetery has a sort of almost, I guess they could say, a Lovecraftian feel to it. I mean, that it does have that... a similar sort of ending. Well, I shouldn't say similar, but it has an ending like this where it's ambiguous. Well, again, because you really don't know what just happened, but there is a sort of, it's left ambiguous and it's sort of, I lost my train of thought.
That's I know what you mean. It's like it's ambiguous and also that sort of dreamlike kind of
yes,
logic.
Yes, exactly. But then, as I was saying before, there's that sort of, it's when I say Lovecraft, people immediately think of like the Cthulhu mythos. But I mean,
yeah,
people do. Lovecraft did more than Cthulhu, people, but he did write some ghost stories, and so there was that There is some aspects of that in House by the Cemetery, but also this one.
Yeah, exactly. And coming up next on Tubi, Phenomena, Frightmare, Hack-O-Lantern, Castle Freak, there's our Lovecraft connection there, and I Drink Your Blood. Those are one of the ones that Tubi recommends we watch after this movie.
Well, Phenomena is not a bad choice after all. I mean, it's yep. Argento, and again.
And that was my first Argento film.
Oh, really?
Phenomena. Yeah, that was the first one I ever saw. But I think the version I saw when I saw it was Creepers. That was the version I saw as a teen.
I see. Yeah. For me, it was Cat of Nine Tails, which again is sort of, I mean, it's not, you're getting into, it's giallo, which is, you know, it is sort of, there's horror aspects to giallo, but I mean, you know, it's still giallo, but then that was only my, I'm rambling, but that was essentially my first Argento film. But then, of course, afterwards, I got into his horror proper.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another day.
Exactly. That's a story for another day. But yeah, that is The Beyond. I hope everyone enjoyed this this episode of the 2B Tuesdays podcast, which is, of course, is our, I believe this might be our last one for Spooky Month. I'm not exactly sure. We'll just find out on the next episode. But thank you all for listening to this episode. And also thank you, Pat, for coming back on.
Well, thank you for having me.
And joining me on this episode.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a nice way to spend a Saturday night. At least I don't know if it's Sunday morning for you. That's right.
So. Yeah, it's Sunday morning. Oh, actually, it's Sunday after. Well, it's Sunday afternoon now because it's after 12. So.
Ah, okay then. Well, it's still Sunday. It's still Saturday evening. So, where I am, but yes, it was a. It's always nice to spend an evening watching films with you, Bede. And with Marcy.
Well, thank you, Pat.
And with
yes.
With Batch.
With Batch.
Wherever they may be.
Yes. I hope Luis Lasser is not terrifying them too much, but I guess we'll find out on the next episode. But yeah, so now before we wrap up the show tonight, Pat, where can people find you on the internet this week?
You can find me and my useless opinions on Twitter at Pat Torfey. You can also if you're so inclined, you can also check me out on Bloody Disgusting, where I talk about video games and video game related news, that sort of thing. Yeah, that's where you can find me. Bede, where can they find you?
Well, if they want to find me personally, they can find me on my Twitter page at twitter.com/BedeJamine. And of course, my Letterboxd account at letterboxd.com/BedeJamine. And of course, you can find all my work over at supermarcy.com with all my reviews and columns. And of course, you can find the 2B Tuesday podcast and all the other podcasts we do on the Super Network on all podcast streaming services everywhere. So definitely give the show a listen and also subscribe to the show and also give us a rating as well. And also, a little bit bonus for the listeners, keep a lookout this Sunday, at least at the time of recording, on October 30th, when the first episode of my new solo podcast, Bede versus the Living Dead, drops the first episode. So so stay tuned for that, where we talk about the movie that started it all, Night of the Living Dead, which, of course, if anyone doesn't know what Bede versus the Living Dead is about, it's where I dive into every remake, re-edit, reimagining, homage, spoof, and unofficial follow-up to Night of the Living Dead. So keep a lookout for that, and we'll see you next Tuesday, everyone. See you, everybody. Bye. Yeah.
You are Liza, aren't you?
Yes.
My name is Emily. I've been looking for you. Go back to where you came from and hurry. Leave this place. 60 years ago, everybody in this hotel disappeared. Every last person. A painter called Zweig, who lived here, closeted in his room, had found a key.
Tell me, with all those accidents, you think you'll give it up now?
I couldn't do that if I wanted to. Well, I won't give in.
The 2B Tuesdays podcast is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. The other added bonus of having a fantastic VPN with Surfshark is if a movie we're watching on the 2B Tuesdays podcast is not available in your country, you can switch on that VPN, go to the country that it is in, and watch the movie. Surfshark VPN also allows you to do this on other streaming platforms, where if you're missing some content in that library, you can turn this on and have a look at what else is on offer. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal. Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy Shark do 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 do. Surfy Shark do 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 do. Now back to the 2B Tuesdays podcast.